more well-known around the world. I know the day that Prabhupada left, at first I was thinking, well, for me personally, not much different, because my service was always reading the books, distributing books, trying to do some service, not much personal association. Sometimes being in the class or tagging along on a walk. Then I was thinking, for the society, what a huge difference, because we didn't have that final authority anymore. So that's still something we're wrestling with. But we do have his presence, Prabhupada, and he's available for everyone by association with devotees and by his books especially. The Vani is better than the Vapu. That was a very common phrase during Prabhupada's time, because most of us didn't get the Vapu. I know the party I was on, the leader, every time Prabhupada was anywhere else in America, he would be taking off to be there, and he would tell us, the Vani is better than the Vapu. Service and separation is better, you know. But that's a fact, that's our philosophy. So I can, at first I didn't like that, but I realized it was a blessing, because there comes a time when we only have the Vani. But Vani means also taking up, trying to follow. Srila Prabhupada said, you know, people said he'd done such miraculous things, but his only credit was that he really strictly, sincerely took the order of his spiritual master. He tried to preach in the English-speaking world, and then he said they had some success. He said, my guru didn't tell me to preach in India particularly, but he said I couldn't sit back and see India going to hell. So he brought some, he said, like Lord Ramachandra, he brought the monkey soldiers to India, and now we see the results, because the Indians, of course, the covering is very thin, natural condition, Punya Bhumi. So, but Prabhupada had not only India, not only the United States. The other day, Jananda Maharaj was speaking, UK, Ugra Karma, and USA, unlimited sinful activity. That's in the Bhagavatam, and in one temple in South India, the leader there, he said, Prabhupada, this Kirata, Hunandra, Pulinda, Prakasha, Yavana, Kshadaya, those are all like specific so-called low-born people, right? We won't go over the details, but it gives in the purport, you know, their particular type of sinful people, or supposedly sinful people. Then yeyanyecha papa, yadapashayasaya. That's America. Taking shelter of all sinful activities. Yeah. No particular, you know, specific type of fallen person, but all came together from all over the world. And Prabhupada had no fear. He had absolutely no fear. He at the lotus feet of Krishna, go to New York City. Even now, my sister lives in Florida. She was afraid when she went to New York. Even ordinary, you know, American people, I think, is dangerous there. But Prabhupada was very happy there because he could preach. He was carrying out the order of his spiritual master, so he was always blissful. Whether he had apparent success, you know, results, the measurable results, or whether he had nothing, he just blissfully carried on, and then we see the result that very quickly so many people joined him. And he was thinking, like we heard, you know, he told us later, you know, he was thinking, when I tell them the regulative principles, they'll just say, go back to India, you know. Nobody in America would want to hear. He was feeling like that. But he had faith, he said, that if they would hear Srimad Bhagavatam, then that would do the job. That would change their heart, change everything. So we see how much determination he had to make everyone hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. He was preaching from Srimad Bhagavatam from the very beginning. He was distributing this Srimad Bhagavatam, putting it in bookstores. But, and anyone who came and was interested, he was, even he sold the captain of the ship the Srimad Bhagavatam, his 3 volumes, so he could get the money to enter America. He didn't have any money. Can't imagine, you know, would you go anywhere without money? Did any of us? Right? We wouldn't go across the street practically. He went to America by himself. Not only no money, but he didn't know anybody there. And there wasn't like a bunch of Hindu families ready to meet any sannyasi. And there wasn't any practice. But he was so Abai. Even he was named Abai from the very beginning. So we can remember the disappearance means appearance. Like you said, he's appearing somewhere else, but also for the sincere devotees, he appears in the heart much more. The guidance and the awareness and the awareness of the need to hear the Vani and carry out the Vani becomes much stronger. So we see how, you know, the movement has somehow continued to expand by Prabhupada's mercy. It inspired so many people. And then more generations on and on, we have no, you know, we see the last 30 years and how many more there are than how many there are going to be. I was just with the Silver Jubilee of the Braj Mandala Parikrama. So there's 1,500 devotees walking. And I was on the first one, that's why I was invited. There was 70. Sachinanda Maharaj was there also. And that was a very spontaneous organization that time. Breakfast sometimes 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Lunch at 7 or 8, one night midnight. Because all of a sudden we were at the place where Nanda Maharaj was arrested by Varuna. And somebody came and said, do you want to go to the place where Radha and Krishna had a marriage? So we said, oh yeah, of course. So we went there and we heard all the leelas, and then all of a sudden it was getting dark and they said, we don't know the way from here to the next place. And somebody said, oh, I know, the pujari there said, I know. So we ran across the Jamuna as the sun was going down, and we walked and we walked and we walked until midnight. Let's see. Good old days. Somehow the movement goes on like that, by the mercy of Krishna. We talked very much, you know. And Prabhupada gave us so much, but he left us with, you know, he said, the framework is there, now you have to fill it in. So, you know, we know what to do. We know by his example and what he did and what he didn't do. We should also note that sometimes. Sometimes devotees want to do things that Prabhupada never did, and he showed us by not doing them. But he was so kind to live with us, you know, in such austere and simple conditions, leaving, you know, Vrindavan and, you know, very nice life there, but and retired. And, but when even when he was in New York, he said, I'm not in New York, I'm in Vrindavan. He's always in Vrindavan. So that he was very, very kind, and then he was especially kind to record, you know, almost everything he spoke, make sure it was recorded. He was very determined like that. And I was told that even when the recording machine in those days, you know, they jam up and everything. And while they were getting, he would stop the lecture until they got it going again. And make sure everything was recorded, and, you know, his letters got organized, and what to speak of the books, working every night, and translating Srimad Bhagavatam, and then getting it published. But there's no easy task, even now for us, with technology much more and experience much more, and getting them distributed, getting all of us, you know, to get out. Like myself, I, in my life, There were a few things, but one thing I thought I would never do ever was sell something. No, no way I would sell anything. I just couldn't stand sales anymore. But I went out with books, and immediately I didn't want to do anything else. I still hardly want to do anything. But it's not really selling, you know. It's giving Krishna, you know. The pictures in the Krishna book, I didn't know anything. I remember when I first sold it, that Prabhupada said, you know, these pictures are windows to the spiritual world. But I didn't know anything else about the book. I hadn't read it even, you know. I just told, I opened it up and said, these are pictures of the spiritual world. You can go there. And people would take it. Oh, really, you know. Because Prabhupada wanted that. Prabhupada, you know, he delayed the publication of that Krishna book. They have 64 pictures in the first volume. Make sure they were all finished. So he had everything covered. He had, you know, when he had nothing, his card said centers all over the world. And he told one man that the books are there and the temples are there, but they're not manifested yet. But now they're manifesting more and more. But still there's, you know, most of the world has not been touched. Tell me I go places, you know, I get some credit because I go where nobody else goes, but there's so much of the world, and even in India, so many villages we haven't touched, and in America, most people never heard of Hare Krishna, so, you know, some devotees think, oh, we have such a bad name, but actually most people never heard of it, so we have a lot of work to do to try to catch up Prabhupada's understanding of the urgency, you know, that the material world is a constant disaster.
Yeah.
It's not just once in a while there's a flood, or once in a while there's always a flood of ignorance and a flood of maya. And Prabhupada understood that, so he never rested. He was able to, you know, inspire anyone who came in touch with him. And still can be. All you have to do is read Prabhupada's purports, his personal ecstasies, and see how many times he stresses, you know, give it, preach, distribute. You know, he says it in so many different ways. You know, and Lord Chaitanya, then he gave us Chaitanya Charitamrita, so we got the, you know, Lord Chaitanya's personified Srimad Bhagavatam, and we know how to preach Srimad Bhagavatam by studying the way he preached it. And the movement just can grow and grow and grow, and everyone can have more and more contact, personal contact with Prabhupada, because he's not limited in any way to any few people or the few people that had a lot of personal contact. But he told us many times, the books are better than I am. The books are still there. Please, you know, we request everybody read them and study them, you know, really read them for the pleasure of Krishna, because that's what Prabhupada wants us to do. And we'll automatically be inspired to remember Prabhupada, remember Krishna, and be able to appreciate all this holy Dham and all this Giri Raj and all the things that Prabhupada, you know, told us about. Otherwise, well, we don't know anything. What in America, what as far as we heard about India, is just a bunch of everybody's completely poor and they're so stupid because they don't kill cows and, you know, they believe in reincarnation. That was how we were taught. So, but Prabhupada came and immediately we could understand, here's the absolute. Anyone who just heard from him, like if you read Nupuna Maharaj's book, Shamasundar, Malati, they never even met Prabhupada, but they said, let's go make a temple in San Francisco, and they did. Without even meeting him, without hardly reading any books, but just by hearing about it from Kundar and Janaki. What to speak of us now, we have so much opportunity, so many movies, so many books, so much chance. Thank you very much. I think it's time to stop and honor the exact moment. Thank you very much. You're very kind to let me speak. I didn't expect to be called on because I was a surprise drop-in, and I was hoping to hear more from others. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Giriraj Maharaj ki jai, Hare Krishna. Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna.
Krishna. Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare
Rama.
Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare
My dear devotees, I just want to take 1 minute as we prepare the prayers to introduce a guest to all of you. It is Pundarik Goswami, who is a very young and dynamic and extremely well-versed preacher of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message. He is from the family of the Goswamis in the Radha Raman temple. And like his father, Sri Bhuti Krishna Maharaj has been throughout the years a very loving and inspiring friend of many devotees and supporters. And I just request you to kindly greet Pundarik Goswami, who has come to also honor Srila Prabhupada to be today with us. I think you have the traditional way of... Srila Prabhupada ki... Please, on behalf of all these enthusiastic devotees, accept this wonderful gala.
Come on. Because of the Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hari Hari Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And love,
let us offer this beautiful song in prayer of forever being united with this divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, and our beloved Acharyas. Through our sincere service to please them, always remembering, never forgetting the all-beautiful land of Sri Vrindavan Town. Srila Prabhupada brought Vrindavan to the whole world. And his prayer was to bring the whole world to Sri Vrindavan Town. Let us offer this simple prayer by Narottam Das Thakur at his lotus feet. Jaya Nilo Prema, Jaya Nilo Prema Dhana, Karuna Prachu. Let us allow Srila Prabhupada to live in our hearts forever. Thank you very much. He is a BBT director, and as of now he is writing some books and also spearheading the BBT's efforts in Africa by heading the newly formed BBT Africa division.
Should have served Guru Maharaj. Prabhupada didn't accept, I've lost the light of my life. He should have served Guru Maharaj. His Holiness Bhakti Chara Maharaj was told that one time he said to Srila Prabhupada that Srila Prabhupada, I wish that I could have been with you in New York in those early days when you were all alone. Prabhupada said, I was never alone. He said, My Guru Maharaj was always with me. That conviction Srila Prabhupada had, not just theoretically, the spiritual master is present in his instructions, but by realization. Realization means practical action, not just theoretical. By practical realization, Srila Prabhupada wrote that his spiritual master lives forever and that the servitor lives with him. And Srila Prabhupada set the example of always being dedicated to carrying out the order of his spiritual master with full energy. One time in, after Srila Prabhupada had his heart attack in the early 1960s, late 1960s, one of our godbrothers, Madhusudan Prabhu, wrote to Srila Prabhupada that now you have to recover your health, so it's better that for some time you rest and not preach. Srila Prabhupada wrote back, "My dear boy, if I didn't preach, where would you be?" We saw in Prabhupada's one small thing. In the last time Prabhupada came to New York City, maybe that was 1976, I think so. His health was not good, the signs were there. Still Prabhupada was going on doing everything, his normal program. But I saw that he was keeping his beads and every opportunity he was chanting. Of course, Prabhupada was always chanting. I think, anyway, that's another story. Bhakti Charimash has told that story from Amsterdam. Maybe it was my point. But Prabhupada, of course, he was always chanting Hare Krishna. But I saw that on that visit to New York, he was, you know, other things were put aside. In previous visits, Prabhupada would have more, as if it were more time, and he would see, you know, things would go on in the normal way. But on that visit, right, every spare moment, or even not spare moment, Prabhupada had to speak. He was chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, with great intensity. One older devotee in Fiji, Prabhupada started the preaching in Fiji. Whole families of devotees joined. One elderly devotee asked what should be his engagement. Prabhupada said, "You should chant more dhamma." To an older man, "You should chant more dhamma." So Prabhupada on that visit, I saw he was every opportunity chanting more Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then later he came to Bombay. Last visit to Bombay. And we saw that Prabhupada had practically no physical energy, but there was a Pandal program arranged. Cross my mind or something. And Prabhupada was in such poor health that he had to be carried onto the stage. Ananda was there and some of them. They would practically just deposit Prabhupada on his asana. And Prabhupada would be, you know, like if you take in a bundle, a sack of rice or something and put it on the asana, it has no vitality. It's just a sack of rice. So Prabhupada's body was like that. The muscles, the vitality wasn't there. So Prabhupada was sitting, but he told the audience that I have come to enliven you and to be enlivened by you. And he had, maybe Tamal Krishna Raj, read. He said, read the second canto, Svati Bhagavastrakai, that section of the Bhagavatam. And he would read, and Prabhupada would sort of slump over and listening. Purport was being read. Prabhupada would say a word or two, read some more. Prabhupada would say another few words. But as the purport was being read and Prabhupada was commenting, Prabhupada just became enlivened and soon he was roaring. Young men would not have had so much energy for speaking. Extraordinary energy, probably, speaking. And then he called for questions also, and beat down all the questioners. So, not just theoretically, but by practical demonstration. To the very end, Prabhupada was giving his full energy up to the last day. Up to the last day. Giving his intelligence, there wasn't much more than intelligence because the physical body was hardly working. Whatever physical energy was there, and practically said, Prabhupada said, spiritual energy, he said, because there's nothing left. Just a bag of bones, Prabhupada said. Earlier in Mayapur, he held out his arm, and where there's muscle here, Prabhupada went like that, he said, flat tire.
Flat tire.
So at that time, also, partly the body was dwindling, and the last day, just spiritual energy was there, practically speaking, because the body was finished. And in that condition also, Prabhupada was giving his full service. He said earlier that in the absence of Guru Maharaj, you should have served his instruction. And Prabhupada demonstrated that. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Swami Maharaj, let us very loudly welcome him. Many of you must have seen the book which I think Jayadit Maharaj said, for anyone interested in understanding the nectar of devotion, he will find Dhanadhar Maharaj's waves of devotion quite helpful. So after a prolonged study of this book, Maharaj has written this book. He's also written a book on, compiled a book on Japa, and is working on another book on Bhakti. So now I'd like to request His Holiness Dhanadhar Swami Maharaj to make his offering.
Of the Vaishnavas, I've been requested to speak. When I woke up this morning, I knew I would be speaking in the morning at the Govardhan function, which I've attended for the last 15 or 20 years, because I didn't know that I'd speak here. But knowing that I was going to speak, I began to meditate. Now, what should I speak on? So I did a little exercise. I, in my mind, went back to think about my last 24 hours. And I wanted to see where I saw and felt the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Of course, I'm feeling it here very, very profoundly, because the greatest glory of Srila Prabhupada is his legacy, that his teachings and moods carries on generation after generation. So certainly looking here itself, probably today is one of my greatest inspirations for the glory of Prabhupada and what he did that is carried out in Guru Parampara. See Sachinanda Mahārāja sitting there. I read last night his journal about his Dandavat Parikram. That was also an inspiration. It gave me some insight into Prabhupada's glory in kind of a unique way. He was talking about why he was doing that Parikram. And he gave several reasons to learn humility. He said, finally, but then he brought up an interesting point. Why practice? Why practice? You can't get devotion just by practice. That's why bhava is sudulabha, because it comes from the mercy of Krishna. But then why do we practice? He gave a simple example that resolves that quandary. He said, if you're trying to get into someone's door and you bow down again and again and again and again in the dust of his door, won't that person let you in? So then I was thinking, this is a very beautiful idea of what is darshan. Because it had an image for me that Krishna is looking at our activities and Krishna is looking at our heart. And then I thought, why not look at the activities and pastimes and things about Prabhupada I remember but look at them through the eyes of how Krishna was seeing them. And then I remembered a very interesting definition of darshan that's found in the story of delivering the wives of the Brahmins. The wives of the Brahmins overcame so many obstacles to come to see Krishna. Actually, how did they get that bhakti? They would buy flowers for their husband's worship. And who was selling the flowers? The Brijvasis. And what were the Brijvasis ladies doing? They were chanting and chanting and hearing about Krishna. And from that association, they got such eagerness that they left everything to see Krishna. And when they finally came before Krishna, Krishna smiled. And in the commentary it said, that is real darshan. That you go before Guru, you go before Krishna, and you offer your sacrifice, you offer your dedication, so that you can bring happiness to their heart by your unalloyed desire to serve Krishna. So I was meditating on different instances where I saw Srila Prabhupada, but I was meditating from the perspective of Krishna. How Krishna was happy. How Krishna was smiling. So I'll just relate one. It was 1976. And keep your image of Krishna watching this. 1976, August, disappearance day of Srila Rupa Goswami. Midnight. We're doing kirtan in front of Srila Prabhupada's house. And Prabhupada is leaving for the West out of compassion. Now, what was Srila Prabhupada's condition? I remember sometimes sitting in his room in the morning, because in Prabhupada's last months, it was 24-hour-a-day open-door policy. Because Prabhupada realized that the legacy of the movement would most powerfully be kept going by the inspiration and devotion that people have for him. So I remember one evening, Prabhupada actually, early in the morning, he screamed, Hare Krishna. And Bhavananda asked me to come on the bed and move his body. And it was told to me that because Prabhupada hadn't eaten for 6 months, they would measure some pomegranate juice, perhaps a little bit every day. They would see how much he was eating, that when there's no fat, the nerves and the bones, no fat between the nerves and the bones, and it's an extremely painful condition. And then Prabhupada came out. I don't remember exact moment he came out, but I remember exactly when he came back. And the image I have of him coming back gives an indication of the condition he had when he was going. He came back from Mumbai. He was in the West. Then took a train to Mathura. Then they drove him, and he came in the side gate by his house. And he was in the arms of Brahmananda Prabhu. And it was the closest facsimile I've ever seen to that picture of Lord Chaitanya holding Haridas Thakur. And then I remember Prabhupada folded his hands and looked at us and then quoted with depth and feeling from the prayers of King Kulashekar, Krishna Twadiya Parapankaja Pankarajam Ajeva Me Manasa Vajahamsa. Let me die now when the swan of my mind is entangled with the lotus of your feet, otherwise at the time of death, how will I remember you? So remember, Prabhupada came, his car was waiting in the front. Of course, there was no samadhi. Even one very, very respected Indian friend of Prabhupada, a very respected politician in India, even came and said, how can you let him go? They put him in the back seat of the car. And in that condition, Prabhupada went again to travel and to paradukha dukhi, no suffering but the suffering that one feels for others. So what was Krishna doing? What was he seeing? How was he feeling? So on days like today, here about Tithi Mahotsava Srila Prabhupada, we have to meditate on darshan. We have to meditate on our own life. We have to look at our own heart. We have to see what Guru and Krishna is seeing when they see us. Personally, on this day, I don't feel very good about myself. And I want to rededicate myself to the legacy and mission of Srila Prabhupada. I'll just finish it with one story of a devotee who Prabhupada saw and smiled. Not only saw and smiled, but made his way into the heart of Prabhupada. That's real darshan. When Guru and Krishna can see you, and they're so pleased with your dedication and your sacrifice that you enter into their heart. When Prabhupada initially came to leave the first time, he came from Rishikesh. And he came into his room in Vrindavan. And we came into his room. And then Prabhupada looked at us. And he exemplified the realization of the verse of Bhagavad Gita which he quoted. He said, if one has to leave, let them come to Vrindavan. Everything is here. He mentioned the Jamuna, the white sands of Ramareti, the peacocks. And then he said, Dehano Smith, Yata Dehe, Komaran Yovanam Jara, Tata Dehantara Praptiat Diras. As the embodied soul passes from boyhood to childhood to youth, similarly at the end of his life, he takes another birth. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. Prabhupada was not bewildered. He was sober. And then, all of a sudden, Prabhupada started to open his heart, and the affection for his devotee came out. And he began to say, he helped me so much, he helped me so much. And he began to talk about his dear disciple who had just passed away, Jayananda Prabhu. He gave me, Prabhupada said, he gave me $5,000 to print the Nectar of Devotion. And with such affection and such love, Prabhupada, and I was just thinking, sitting there at the time, Prabhupada, so distant, not distant in heart, but distant in his qualification compared to mine. Who Prabhupada was, and how a devotee entered into the heart of Prabhupada, took darshan of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada saw his dedication. Prabhupada saw his sacrifice. And therefore, Prabhupada developed great affection for him. So on this particular day, We should have a deep meditation. And we should look into our own hearts. And we should give darshan. We should take darshan. Tomorrow you'll go around the hill. One sadhu told me that when the devotee goes around the hill, Giriraj follows him around the hill. And you have darshan. And he sees your heart. Satchinandana Swami with the Dandavat Parikrama. I met him on the road there. He shared his realizations. He was just offering, this is what I am. This is what I lack. So today, we can all take darshan of Prabhupada. We can all open our hearts. And then we'll come to one conclusion. We don't have much to offer. There's such a distance between what we have to attain and who we are. But there's one hope. And that Prabhupada is so great that he has unlimited mercy. And that if we're humble and we offer ourselves in dedication and sacrifice, then what we lack, he can give us. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Now we'll have Damodar Ashtakam. Before that, a few important announcements. Tomorrow, we shall be going for Govardhan Parikrama. 6:30 a.m. the Parikrama begins. Before that, we shall be serving breakfast, but it will be more like brunch. But we'll also have when we come back from the Parikrama. So some heavy kind of breakfast, light enough to make you walk and heavy enough to sustain. So that's at 5:45. One very important consideration is, while we move ahead, please, please, please do not go in front of the leaders of the Parikrama. There are some devotees who are especially suffering from asthma due to the dust. So all the devotees, especially the younger enthusiastic ones and camera holders, the photographers and the media enthusiasts and the rest, whoever are interested, kindly restrain yourself, follow the leaders and see to it that you follow in line. There should be no crowd of devotees in front of the Parikrama leaders. Kindly follow this principle tomorrow. Tomorrow evening we will have bhajan session. There won't be any katha. And day after tomorrow, as in Vrindavan, we shall divide our yatris into three groups. The places where you will be going are Nandagaon, Barsana and Radhakund Parikrama. The details are already put up at the beginning of the pandal. Kindly take notice of that. Tomorrow morning, kitchen seva is Mumbai region 1 and 2 from Bandra to Borivali and the Sion region. Kindly report at the kitchen.